Nehemiah chapter 6, if we could read some of it this morning. So Nehemiah is in this situation as we found him yesterday in the fifth chapter, where he could have legitimately taken advantage of his own countrymen, his own Jewish people. There was famine, there was need. He could again have easily exacted from them, like everybody else had been doing. But he said, if you remember, I'm not going to do that. It's within my realm. It's lawful for me. It's okay. I can. But I won't, because of my reverence for God and for the sake of these people. And then he went a step further and he said, and you guys that are exacting usury and that are taxing exorbitantly, you're wrong and you should stop. And they said, or they didn't say anything. It says they couldn't answer Nehemiah. They didn't know what to say. And then at the end of the chapter, it's even turned the whole reversal. Not only does he forego because of love for his brothers, but it says there that he had 150 people around his table that he fed every day. People that couldn't fend for themselves. People that were in need. And he tells what he killed every day, how much provision it took to supply those needs. And then the last verse of the fifth chapter, he prays again. I haven't called attention, I don't think, to every time Nehemiah prays, but one of the ways you can study the book of Nehemiah is just to go from prayer to prayer to prayer to prayer to prayer. There are a lot of them in Nehemiah. And again, here at the end of this chapter, he prays. Remember me with favor, O my God, for all I have done for these people. God, I've done a lot for these people. I've withheld my own interests. I've given to meet their need and help provide for them. I've done, Lord, for your people, my people. Now, Lord, remember me. You remember me. I've served tables for 2 weeks at camp to the urchins down there in the village. And I've put up with whatever, and I've done this and I've done that. And Lord, I've done it for your people. I've done it to help the kingdom of God. I put aside my own interests. I didn't seek my own. I sought the things that belong to you. I don't have to be here. I could still be back a king's cupbearer and doing pretty well for myself. But where you may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust you so. And you gave me that burden, and so I went for it. And here I find myself building and building and getting into fights and squabbles. People all over want to take a lash at me and yell at me and scream at me and holler at me and badger me and tell me where I'm all wrong. And that's what Nehemiah put up with. Lord, I did this for your people, for your kingdom. So, Lord, please remember me. Remember me for the good that I've done. You know, if you can pray that prayer, you're fortunate. There are some people that can't pray that prayer because they haven't done anybody any good. It's all about just what I want, when I want it, how I want it. I serve myself and I do for my own self and I don't do for anybody else. But Christian love is a love that gives. I think that's implied in that whole word agape, that love that we're to love with. It's a giving love. God so loved, God so agape that he gave. We read in 1 John 3:16, Jesus so loved that he gave. God gave his best, his son. Jesus gave his life, gave, 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 gave. And then we're told that we're to love as Christ loved. We're to love one another. That's agape also, that word. And so the Lord has to help us. I trust that he does. Remember me, Lord, for the good that I've done for these people. Now, chapter 6. We're not going to finish it. We're going to, I hope, get at least to the 14th verse or so. But the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Gershom, and the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall. And not a gap was left in it. So now we're more than halfway, and now we're almost finished. Almost finished. Do you know almost finished isn't finished? Okay? You ever tell your kids, finish what's on your plate? And then you look at what's on their plate when they say, Mom, I'm finished. How could that be finished? I could still see green. It's usually green that's left. I could still see, that's on your plate, that's not finished. And a little bit more, a little bit more. Finished means all gone. Audrey had that, what was that cake last night? That chocolate cake with the chocolate icing on it? She ate the whole thing except for what was on her face. She couldn't eat that all right away. And then I looked over and she was licking the... Finished. Finished means finished. Yeah, well, it's almost finished. Almost. Some of our lives, and I'm not talking to the poor young people, I'm talking to the poor old people. Some of our lives might be finished soon. Almost finished. We've almost finished the work. We've almost finished what God has given us to do. Almost, not yet. Sid Bazell, if you know that name, said, the most vulnerable place for a Christian is at the beginning and at the end. I've heard other preachers say the most vulnerable place is in the middle. So I guess we're always vulnerable. But we kind of can get to the end or near the end and sort of coast. There's never a time in the Christian life to coast. Never. It's the pedal to the metal until the end. Until we breast the tape, until we reach the end of our lives. And that's even the camp here. I mean, you get to Thursday, and, sometimes people have 1 foot out the door already. Your suitcases are beginning to get packed again, and we're thinking about home. I pulled out my little itinerary thing, and what do I got to do when I get home? Oh, no, I better just stay where I am. We're going to think about now, because we're finished. And the tendency is, okay, we're going to wind down. We're Thursday already, so let's just endure Thursday and Friday, and then we've made it to the end, we're finished. But I don't want to look at it that way, and I don't think we all, and any of us do. It's where we prayed when I prayed for the boys before. They're not finished yet. They're not finished yet. And neither are we. And so here, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, all these guys, they heard that there wasn't a gap left in the wall, but up to that time, I had not set the doors in the gates. All right, so it's, details. We just got to put the doors up. Hanging doors isn't easy, but just got to put the doors up. That's all that's left. Hang the gates. Sanballat, Geshem sent me this message. Come and let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. Yeah, that's right. Nehemiah said, oh no. Let's meet together. Now, there's a little bit of a different tactic taken here. You remember they were armed and they were ready to kill and they were ready for blood. That didn't seem to do much. Let's compromise and be friends. Let's meet together at Joe's Coffee Shop, McDonald's. Let's talk a little bit together. Let's have a little sweet fellowship, it's you and I and we together. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? No, that's a good answer. I'm not stopping. I am not stopping. It's not finished yet. I know you can put the doors on anytime. We can take care of the rest of the job. It's almost finished. I'm not putting Brother Tom on the spot, but I wonder, I'm sure there have been things here at camp. You build a whole building, and the only thing left is to do this little thing, and it never gets done. Because, it's such a little thing left. It's only a little detail. And so we'll do that Memorial Day. We'll get somebody else. I mean, it's almost finished. So, and Nehemiah wasn't about to do that. Don't you do that either. We've got to keep on. I mentioned Uncle Hans. And the end of his life, the end of his life, he never stopped. He never stopped. It wasn't, well, you know, I'm about ready to go to heaven. And he knew he was ready to go to heaven, and he was about ready to leave, and he hadn't gone out to meetings anymore because he wasn't well enough to. But there, right in the faith home, right in his room, still seeking God. Still, Lord, I want perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace, he told his nephew when he came in to visit him once. Edwin, these things need to be perfect in our lives. God wants perfect love, perfect joy, perfect peace. Uncle Hans, you know, take it easy. Just settle down and die quietly. Don't run any longer. Don't fight anymore. It's over. I saw my Uncle Edwin the day before he died in the hospital. And he was just, he knew his end was near also. And he said some things to try to help and encourage me along the way. But among the things that he said is, Ernie, Jesus is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. And then he said, you know that already, don't you? Yeah. But I could see it in his, just in his face, 90 whatever he was, and marks all over from where they put this in and that in and all the things hooked up to him. But Jesus is wonderful. Come on, Jesus, serve him. Serve him. Live for him. He's wonderful. You know that already, don't you? Yeah, I found that out. And so Nehemiah, I'm not stopping now. I've got to keep on going. We've got work yet to accomplish and to do. So no, I cannot come down. And why should the work stop when I go down and talk to you? And so it says four times, verse 4. Four times they sent me the same message. Let's not get weary in doing well. Four times. Well, the fourth time, you know, if you know, your kids do that too, maybe. Maybe not your kids, maybe your campers. Can't we go out? No, you can't go out. Mommy, can't we go out? No, you can't go out. Mommy, can't we go out? All right, already, go. Go out, leave me alone, do whatever. We get weary, tired. They keep continually coming and continually, and after a while, and when the enemy comes, you remember Joseph. You know, Joseph overcame the temptation when Potiphar's wife was after him. But the thing that is critical in that story is she badgered him and she came after him day after day. You know, one time to say no and get thee behind me, Satan, and I cannot do that thing and sin against God. Well, that's okay, that's one time. But when it's day in and day out, and you go to the same job and that same boss or that same coworker or that same situation over and over and over again. Now, it's only four times, but that's enough. But then it's not enough. The fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message in his hand. It was an unsealed letter. And now here's another little thing that you might have to deal with sometime too. The sealed letter, and he read it. It's reported among the nations. Gershom says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and you're building the wall. That's why you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king. You've even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king already in Judah. This report's going to get back to the king, so come, let's confer together. Come on, we got to talk about this. So we know what you're up to. We found you out. You just want to be the king. And I guess I would call this a vicious rumor. Could you call it slander or gossip? What did they call Jesus? Did they call him some stuff too? What were some of the things that they said about him? He was a... Wasn't he called a wine bibber? A glutton? Wine bibber? This guy, he's a friend of prostitutes and harlots. Sometimes people speak evil of you. And if you enumerated, and maybe mentally you can do that, this is what they said, this is what they did. First they got angry, then they verbally persecuted, then they physically tried to get, and then they badgered me again and again to come down off the wall and so we could confer and have a talk together. And now what they're doing is spreading gossip and rumors about me. They're saying things that are totally untrue. So what do you do? Straighten them out. You get down off the wall, you stop building. So that's the whole idea. Anything we can get you to do to stop building, to stop doing the work that you were given to do, anything we can do, we'll kill you, that will stop it. We'll try to get you down in some other pernicious way, if that will stop. We'll do anything that we can do. Nothing's worked so far, so maybe this will work. Maybe we can spread rumors about him, and then he'll come down, try to defend himself, try to stay the rumor. We can get into a fight with him. Maybe we could kill him if needs be. We can at least have it out, and maybe that will work. That's a hard thing to keep your mouth shut when all men speak evil and falsely about you, when you're reviled. But didn't Jesus teach that to his disciples in something called the Sermon on the Mount? When you're reviled, Peter says, when you're reviled, what do you do? Well, when I'm reviled, I'll tell you what I do. I defend myself. I write back, I talk back, I fight back. Nobody says nothing about me because I got a reputation to defend. You don't have a reputation to defend, neither do I. People will say whatever they want to say. Let your life speak for you. If people are going to think that about you, maybe there's a reason for them to think that about you. But I don't need to, we don't need to, you don't need to defend yourself. Vengeance is, I will, saith me. Oh, no, saith the Lord. So what am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? We said it earlier. Play the camel. Get down on your knees and roll it off on him. Lord, here it is. So what's Nehemiah going to do? Well, you know what he's going to do already because you know Nehemiah. And you know what Uncle Hans would do too, because some of you remember Uncle Hans. And some of you remember, you know, I have a friend that was a manager one time, and he says, when you're a manager, when you're a leader of anything, watch out. Everybody's out to get you. You can't do anything right. No matter what you do, it's wrong. If it's not wrong at the time, it will be wrong one day. No matter what you do, it's wrong. You can't please everybody all the time, so you don't try to please anybody any of the time. You try to please the Lord all the time. And you try to do what he wants you to do. You don't go out of your way to unnecessarily whatever, but you can't expect everybody to speak well of you because it's just not going to happen. Especially as you're serving the Lord. And Nehemiah was finding it out. You know, that's a terrible thing to say. It's a terrible thing to say. You're doing this. The man was giving his life. He was giving his blood. He was giving his sweat. He was giving his everything for the people of God, for God's kingdom to be furthered and built. And then you got these clowns that are raking him over the coals and making up stories about him and trying to bring him down. Do anything you possibly can do to bring him down. And Nehemiah, it says, I sent him this reply. Oh, you replied? You answered? Yeah, he answered. But not tit for tat. Not I'll answer in kind. He said this. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. That's the end of it. I mean, go ahead, spin your wheels, yell, scream bloody murder, say what you got to say, but nothing like this is happening. And it's really not going to catch on a whole lot among the people of God, because I think the people of God have seen the labor that's been invested. You know, when people spoke evil about Uncle Hans, and I can remember with Brother Edwin, everybody, I can remember how they responded to it. And I can remember how the people of God responded to it. People know the character of Brother Hans. They know how he laid down his life for the sake of the gospel. That's not true. He's not trying to be a king. He's not trying to lord it over people. He's not trying to build a kingdom here for himself. You're just making this up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. And so we'll close with this next verse. But I prayed. I prayed, now strengthen my hands. Lord, just strengthen my hands. What a good prayer. What a short prayer. Short prayers are good prayers. Lord, strengthen my hands. I've got work to do. I've got gates to put up. They're trying to get me 5 times now. And now they're making up rumors, sending me this unsealed letter. And here's what it says. The next story, they've got some false prophet coming to prophesy to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah says, I saw through all their guys. I saw through that. I didn't fall for that tactic either. It just never ends, does it? The enemy is relentless. And he's after you to defeat you. And if he can defeat you on the last lap of the journey, he's won a tremendous victory, if he can. But by God's grace, we're going to breast the tape. By God's grace, oh no, I cannot come down. Why should this work stop when I come down and talk to you? Why should this work? That's just me. I'm making it up in your head. I'm not stopping. I can't entertain that. I can't be bothered. I've got work to do, you understand? I've got things that are important to do rather than come down and entertain your pernicious ways, your arguments. And he just committed it all to the Lord and said, Father, strengthen my hands. I'm on the way of holiness, the way that leads to Zion. I'm one of those redeemed. I'm one of those of your people. And now, Lord, my feeble hands, strengthen my feeble hands. I think it's in Isaiah 35, is it not? Lord, the work of your hands, establish thou it. And so I'm thankful that the one who's begun a good work, he wants to finish it. But go all the way through. Don't stop at the end. There are more than one time, I'm sure it's happened, but they say when you run races, when you run 100-yard dashes, what do you keep your eye on when you're running? The finish line, and nothing but the finish line. Nothing but the finish line. David says, I don't look to the right or to the left. Because when runners run, when they're running in that sprint, if they look to the right, or to the left, they've been people that have lost races because they've looked around. I got no time to look around. I've got to look to the author and the perfecter. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will strengthen all of our hands. Lord, there are those of us, Lord, that we've been running, trying to run with patience and endurance the race. And it's been a number of years now for some. And we've done some work for the kingdom of God to the ability that you've given. It might not be very productive. It might not have been the best. But Lord, unto you we've given our all. We've done what we could. And Lord, we pray that you will help us not to quit. Lord, at the end, when the gates need to be put up, when the last coat of paint needs to be put on, when the shutters need to be hung. Lord, whatever task you've given us, whatever burdens you put on our hearts, Lord, we pray that you will give us grace to be true until the very end. We thank you for Nehemiah's example to us, Lord. The very, very many ways, and the enemy, although he's relentless, he's not very inventive. He uses the same stuff all through the ages. The same stuff that was used against Nehemiah was the exact same things that were done with the Apostle Paul to try to dissuade him verbally, from within, from without, taunts, threats on his life, innuendos. This guy, he talks big when he's away from us, but he's not really, and all the stuff that was said. Lord, it's just over and over again, the same stuff. I guess it works. And that's why the enemy continues to proceed in the ways that he does. But Lord, it's not going to work. Lord, you've begun a good work and you're going to finish it. And so we just commit ourselves to you today, Lord. And pray that you'll strengthen us and give us grace to reach the top. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen. Now tonight, Sister Edith has consented to speak to us here in the meeting, which means that we will begin the meeting here. We won't begin down at the beach. We will get to the beach. We will have a short meeting, probably ending by 9 o'clock tonight, starting at 8:15, the normal time. But ending by 9, we'd like Sister Edith to be recorded. She told me what she's going to say concerning Brother Hans and truths that were precious to him, that she's going to talk to us tonight. You'll enjoy, I'm sure, and benefit by what she'll say. And so that's planned for tonight. Now, I just want to let you know also that tomorrow morning is a little bit of a difference also, in that there are two boys in the Nonantum group that are from Hong Kong. Two twin brothers. And their parents aren't here, but the boys are. And the boys know the Lord and love the Lord. And it's their desire that they be baptized. Now, that's not a normal thing at camp, and it's often discouraged if you have a home church. You should get baptized at your church. Oh, I want to be baptized in camp because these are holy waters. Nothing holy about that water out there. You go to the Catholic Church if you want to throw a few drops on you, but we don't do that. We don't do that because it's good to get baptized where you attend. But the situation in Hong Kong is tenuous now. It's a different situation. So we want to accommodate them. And tomorrow morning, after breakfast at 9:15, we're going to gather the village, Nonantum, Natick. We all are going to go down to the beach. We're going to meet at the beach at 9:15, not 9:30 here. If you're wondering, where'd everybody go? Did I miss it? Is the rapture for true? We're at the beach. I'll remind you of this, but I just want you to be aware so that you maybe can plan accordingly. It will not be long down there. We'll be there for a few minutes. We'll have the baptismal service down there. Baptize the two boys. The villagers in Native Nonantum will go, and so will we. And we will, by the grace of God, come back here. And be here late, but better late than never. And we will end on time tomorrow, not like today. Okay? And so we'll gather for our morning worship after the baptismal service tomorrow. So you got that? So just what you need to know is right now, let's go play shuffleboard. And God bless you and have a wonderful day.